away.
From sea to shining sea, throughout the solar system, and extending to interstellar regions beyond, this is the Kevin Smith Show.
Comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, whoever you are, wherever you happen to be, all around this beautiful place we call Earth. Thank you for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. I'm delighted to be here, and I think you're going to be delighted to be here as well. I'm here because you have a right to know, and because you matter. Of course, here in the United States, we still have a whole lot of the news circulating around the very tragic and horrific bombings in Boston yesterday. And so a lot of folks' minds are focused on that, and that would be quite natural that that would be the case. Almost nobody focused yesterday on the news that the bottom fell out of the gold market and the stock market tanked pretty severely. And again, that would be normal, natural, because of the very tragic and horrific events in Boston. I want to say again that from my heart to the people in Boston, the victims of this, my sincere sympathy and my best wishes for everyone to recover rapidly who was injured, and my condolences to the families of those who were killed. Tonight is going to be a big night here at the Kevin Smith Show, and I'm not joking. Each year I find some reporting somewhere that earns the famed Toro Kaka Award, and I have found the second one for this year, and we're going to be talking about that. So you want to call your friends, your family, call all the neighbors, wake them up if you have to, and tell them to tune in to hear tonight's show, so they will hear the granting of the second Kevin Smith Show Toro Kaka Award for the year. Now, this is an award that you really have to work at. You know, it's, I give it to reporters, journalists, people like that, publications, and you really have to work at it in order to earn the Toro Kaka Award. You really, really have to stoop to the depths of stupidity, or you really, really have to step to the depths of abject ignorance, or you really have to step to the depths, into the depths of disinformation. I mean, you really, really got to work at this. And we do have one, and it's an article that's posted on a major news site. and we're going to be dissecting it. We have two stories we're going to talk about tonight, and then we'll open up the telephone lines. These two stories, in a strange way, are related. And one of them gets the Toro Kaka Award. All right, we're going to step away for a break, and we shall return right after this. All of the music used here at the Kevin Smith Show is from independent artists. Most of it from independent artists at musicalley.com. Go over to musicalley.com. Check out thousands of artists and thousands of great independent tunes. Musicalley.com. All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and as I said, tonight is a big night here. We have, I think, some pretty big news, and also we are going to be awarding, for the second time in 2013, the Kevin Smith Show Toro Kaka Award for really, truly, truly bad reporting. And Look, there. Sometimes this award goes. You don't have to be. You don't have to be really well known to get this award. Sometimes this award has gone to articles that appeared on Huffington Post. Sometimes this award, the Toro Caca Award, has gone to articles that appeared on MSNBC, and sometimes on I think CNN. Yeah, and you know, I mean, so there's some big names, you know, that have received the Toro Caca Award. I don't know that it's an honor, but it's a big, big deal. And so we have somebody tonight that is going to receive the Toro Caca Award. We're going to begin tonight with a story from NASA. Now, I became aware of this kind of secondarily as I was preparing to do the show tonight, you know, with this information about the Toro Caca Award. But I became kind of, you know, secondarily aware of this other story as I was scrolling down the page over at UFOSightingsDaily.com. It's a good site. You ought to check it out. But this was one of the stories there. And it has to do with NASA and their photographs. Now, it also has to do with extraterrestrials. We have a whole world full of really dumb people, I guess you've noticed that, who are sitting around saying, well, you know, if there really are extraterrestrials, why hasn't somebody official documented that? Well, maybe NASA's not official. I don't know. I mean, I kind of thought they were. And I'm kind of going with that here tonight. I sort of think NASA is kind of official. And they do all the things official people do, you know. They hide information. That's been their track record. Sometimes they just outright give us incorrect information. They withhold information, they paint over things in pictures, and all that sort of thing. But they don't get it all. And here of late, NASA, when I say here of late, I mean the past couple of years or so, NASA have become progressively more open about releasing photographs that have stuff in them they haven't painted out. Now, if you didn't know that NASA paints stuff out of pictures, then you are truly very, very new to our genre of information. They've been doing that since way before the Apollo flights. And so, I mean, this is not new news. However, it is fairly recent. Relatively recent, that NASA has been releasing photographs that have stuff in them that they, for whatever reason, have not chosen to paint out of the picture. The International Space Station has cameras mounted in various, numerous places around the exterior. And what we're going to look at, for those who are watching, and I'll describe it for those who are listening, what we're going to look at is a shot from one of the cameras from the International Space Station. That is not it. Hang on. There we go. Now, I've got the link for those who are watching. The link is right there at the bottom of the picture. You can copy that down and go download this picture, and you'll see that's it. That's the picture. The only difference here, there are two differences here. One, I put a red arrow pointing at something in the picture. That will not be in the picture when you download it. Two, I had to shrink this down a lot to get it to fit your screen so you could see it. Now, in a moment, I'm going to show you this picture exactly as it comes when you download it. It's a big picture. And you will not see much of what you're looking at right now. What we're looking at, for those who are listening, we see in the foreground, immediately in front of the camera, we see part of the International Space Station. To the left, we see the Earth, and slightly to the right of the Earth, and way out there ahead of the International Space Station, there's a speck. Now, when you download this from NASA, it's not a speck. When you download this photograph directly from NASA, that's not a speck. It's a speck on your screen right now because I had to shrink this picture down to get it all into the screen. I had to reduce the size of this picture rather dramatically. A whale of a lot to get it onto this screen. When you download this from NASA, that's not a speck. You'll be able to see immediately what it is. Now, let me go to the photograph as you get it from NASA, okay? That's the exact size you get from NASA. And now you can see you are looking at some kind of craft out there, and it's not very blurry. That's exactly as you'll download it from NASA, just like that. And now we cannot see the Earth. It is in the picture, but it's out of our screen. So this is the exact same picture. I just didn't shrink this down. This is the size you will get if you download this from NASA. Now, when we zoom in on that craft out there, here's what we get. Rather amazing. It looks like, it gets really pixelated because I've zoomed in a bunch. But you don't have to zoom in at all to see that it's a craft. But I have zoomed in, and it's kind of pixelated, but we're looking at a structure here. And it's an odd-shaped craft. We have sort of a circular area around the front. And, I don't know. This kind of looks like the Starship Enterprise looking at it from the front on. Not exactly. But sort of. If you were looking right at the front of the Starship Enterprise, you would see a circular area. And then you would see what kind of appears to be wings with engines on it. And this is kind of that shape. I'm talking about, the Starship Enterprise kind of has those wing fixtures with the engines on it. This has kind of that shape, but not exactly. Nevertheless, we can see it is a craft. Now, it's out there. We cannot tell how far that is away from the International Space Station. Relatively speaking, it's close. But it's not like, so close it could bump the space station or anything like that. That's probably, maybe 80 miles away or something like that. It's hard to tell in space. And so, and we don't know, we just don't know. So we can't really tell what the dimensions of that thing are, but it's not small. And it would appear that it is at least as large as the space station. So it's not a really small fixture out there. It's not imaginary. It's there. And it is, they got several pictures of it changing positions. At one point, what you see on the right was tipped to the bottom. What you see on the right side of that craft out there, that right side was not on the right. It was at the bottom at 6 o'clock position. At one point, I believe it was at the 12 o'clock position. But anyway, it's pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. More amazing, though, than this will be the fact that NASA hasn't said anything about this. And if you were to ask them, they would say, oh, we're looking for signs of extraterrestrial life out there, and if we ever find any signs of any extraterrestrial life, we're going to be shouting it from the rooftops. Well, there's your proof. They're not going to shout it from the rooftops. They do have signs of extraterrestrial life. They have documented it. And they haven't been shouting it from the rooftops. This is not new. NASA has shot pictures of craft near the International Space Station, passing the International Space Station, trailing the International Space Station, all of that. They've shot loads of pictures of various craft that it's not our stuff. This is just another one. You know, NASA every year could qualify for the Toro Caca Award, but it would be redundant. At least they are releasing the pictures. And, you know, that's a good thing. At least they release the pictures. No comment. They're not going to say, well, look, you know, here's Zaytan from Z-Lag coming for a visit. I mean, they're not going to do it. They're never going to do it. They are not going to shout it from the rooftops. Never. But they have absolute documentation, absolute proof that extraterrestrial life does exist. And I think this picture probably qualifies for that level of documentation. Somebody built it. Whatever, you know, I had somebody that told me when I talked to somebody today about this, and the person said, well, now, before you say that that's proof of extraterrestrial life, that might not be a crewed ship. In other words, it might not have a crew on it. It may be a robotic ship. Okay, well, somebody built it. There's your proof. Even if there's no crew on that, somebody built it, and I bet there is a crew on it because it's big enough for that, but even if there's not, you still had somebody that built it, so there is proof right there that there is intelligent extraterrestrial life. NASA knows it. NASA's documented it. For those who will pay attention, NASA's releasing the pictures and therefore releasing the information by releasing the pictures. They don't have to come out and say, okay, look, we found extraterrestrial life. They don't have to shout it from the rooftops. All they have to do is release the pictures, and those who are not mushrooms will see the pictures and put it all together. And now, let me be quick about this, because I know I always get into trouble when I say things like that. I'm not suggesting that if you haven't seen the picture that you're a mushroom. I said those who are not mushrooms will see the pictures and put it all together. Okay? So in other words, somebody that's not a mushroom, when they see this picture, their mind will click, and they'll say, somebody built that, and it doesn't look like that's ours. Let's take another look at that, and we'll start with the picture with the link. It's a little bit hard to read, but go ahead and copy that link down and download it for yourself. Each time I do this, I get email from people who say, well, you know, you manipulated the picture this way and that way and this way. And I didn't manipulate this picture at all, except what people are looking at right now, I did shrink it so that it would fit our screen. I didn't change any contrast. I didn't put it through any color filters. I did nothing to it except resize it. And then the next picture that I'm going to put up is the one that I didn't resize. I didn't put it through any kind of processing. This is exactly what you get when you download it from NASA. Now, I do have to put in this caveat, just as I did before. There's a whole lot more to the picture than what our viewers are seeing. It's too big. It's way too big to fit the screen. And so you're just seeing a piece of the picture, but that is the size that you're going to get when you download it. And that is what you're going to see. So check it out for yourself. And, you know, you satisfy yourself that I did not monkey with the evidence. Now, the next picture, I admit, I did do something. It's actually this picture, and I'm just going to click a button and zoom in on that extraterrestrial craft. At least, I think it is extraterrestrial. It does not appear to be anything like anything that we design here on Earth. It's very, very odd. It's big. It's near the International Space Station. And, you know, I think it's extraterrestrial. I can't prove that, but I think it is. NASA's saying nothing about it and would never say anything about it if you showed this to them, other than they might say, well, you know, that's a Chinese wedding lamp or some such nonsense. That's a craft. And it's in their picture, and, you know, I applaud them for releasing the picture. So what does this have to do with the Toro Kaka Award? Well, you know, we have to get into that story in order to really understand, but this does link up with it. And the link is the whole idea of extraterrestrial life and mushrooms who think, that's something new? Are fictional, science fictional? Serious scientists never even consider that that is a reality? That is so far behind the data. That is so many years behind the facts. It's unreal. And, you know, if you're wandering around out there in the morass and you're saying, well, I don't know. I mean, I haven't seen, I haven't heard, I haven't. Then you're using yourself as a standard, and that is excessively primitive. Just because you haven't seen it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. And just because you haven't heard it has no bearing on whether it's real. We'll be back right after this break, and we'll get into this next story.
Alone, know the places I've been to. You alone know the place where I need. You alone.
All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. And are you ready? Are you ready now for the winner of the Kevin Smith Show Toro Kaka Award? Like I said, it's a big, big deal. You need to call your friends, call your family, wake up all the neighbors if necessary, tell them to tune in so they don't miss this. This is a big, big deal. Well, here it is. Now, I accidentally, on our TV channel, showed a picture earlier. So here's the picture. Now, what we see here is what looks like, you know, the standard kind of gray alien, except it's only about 6 inches long. And this gray alien is dead. Kind of almost mummified. And this being is laid out on some, looks like gauze fabric, on an examining table. We can see what appears to be some kind of scientist or doctor. We just see his arms and his hands. He's got, you know, the surgical gloves on. He's got the, you know, the clean suit on and all of that. And that's what we see. But now this little being, and I've just zoomed in, this little being is not new. I've been seeing pictures of this on the internet for actually a number of years. This is not new news. So what is it about that that has generated an article that wins the Toro Kaka Award? Well, here we go. I think everybody in our genre is familiar with the name Dr. Stephen Greer. Dr. Stephen Greer is, of course, a medical doctor, and he is the founder of the Disclosure Project, and has done a whole lot of stuff to try and get the word out that the U.S. government is, in fact, hiding and covering up a great deal of information about UFOs and about extraterrestrial life, that they are actively covering up hard evidence of extraterrestrial life. The article that I am going to give this award to is an article that appears on FoxNews.com. And it's called UFO Film Promises Proof of Pint-Size Aliens. Well, the headline is not true. Just to start off, that headline is not true, as you will discover. It's sensational, of course, but that is the way vain stream media does things. And this is an article written by Ben Radford. I don't know Ben Radford, and when I give these awards out, I very seldom know anything really about the writer of the article. I just know about the article that they've written that's winning the award. So Ben Radford is probably a, you know, pretty good guy and probably well-respected and all of that. But this article basically sucks like a Hoover vacuum cleaner when it comes to the facts. And it begins with a faulty, if not false, headline. But this is about Stephen Greer's upcoming film. It's a documentary film. It's called Sirius, S-I-R-I-U-S. And it's supposed to document, you know, some of the hard evidence of extraterrestrial life and of the UFO phenomenon that Dr. Greer and his people say the U.S. government is actively covering up. And so everybody's really been in the UFO genre has been really excited about this and wanting to see the film, and you know, a lot of great expectations about this film, a lot of anticipation. Dr. Greer, as the film has been funded, it's a crowdfunding project. It's been funded by donors, and you know, it's in other words, it's the money has come from people interested in seeing this film made. Not big-time investors, just, you know, people. So Dr. Greer sent out a letter or an email to his donors asking for some more money. And the interesting thing is, now, Ben Radford, in this article, publishes what Dr. Greer sent out. I want you to listen to this, and then we'll talk about why I'm giving the Toro Kaka Award to Ben Radford for writing this article. All right, now this is what Dr. Greer wrote to his donors and asking them for additional funding. And I quote, "There is a chance that we may be able to include in the film series the scientific testing of a possible extraterrestrial biological entity, or an EBE, a possible, remember that is critical, a possible extraterrestrial biological entity that has been recovered and is deceased. This EBE is in the possession of a cooperative institute desiring further scientific study, scientific evaluation of the possible, okay? Remember that, possible, ET. We cannot reveal at this time the location of this being or the name of the person or persons who possess it. However, I want you to note this. This is Dr. Greer in his letter to his donors. Now remember, he is what? A physician. He is a medical doctor. He says, I have actually visited the group that possesses the EB and have personally and professionally examined the being. He has personally, professionally examined this. He said, it is indeed an actual deceased body, and most certainly is not plastic or man-made. It has a head, two arms, two legs, and is humanoid. If you don't know what humanoid means, it means human-like. Similar to human. We have seen and examined X-rays of the being. Its anatomy, however, is not Homo sapien, or modern human, or any known hominid, which means predecessors to humans. As you can imagine, the security and scientific issues surrounding the further testing of this potentially explosive and world-changing evidence are mind-boggling. However, we feel we simply must proceed expeditiously and cautiously. The cost of doing proper MRI testing, full and dispositive forensic level DNA testing, and carbon dating with other isotope testing are considerable and certainly not currently funded. All right, now that's what Dr. Greer wrote to his donors. Now, Ben Radford, to his credit, published that. So now we have, you know, from Dr. Greer, what the story is here, relative to why he needs the funding and what this thing is, in his opinion, possible extraterrestrial biological entity. The story behind this little guy, this little body, is that it was found in out in the desert in South America. And I've seen pictures of it. You have too, if you're really into UFO stuff. You've seen pictures of it on the internet for a number of years. That also is important here. Radford begins his commentary this way. The cute little EB alien thing is about half a foot long. It looks like something you might stir your coffee with if you broke off one of its bony little arms. It was recovered not from Area 51 nor a hidden base near Roswell, New Mexico, but instead, supposedly, from Chile's Atacama Desert several years ago. So he admits, several years ago. Okay. That's fact. Not a supposedly. That is a fact. It showed up several years ago on the internet, and that was the story. So Radford begins this article with a headline that's not true. And the reason I say it's not true, the headline again is UFO film promises proof of pint-sized aliens. There's nothing in what Greer said here that promises proof and certainly does not promise it's going to be in the film. He's trying to raise additional cash so that they can get the testing done and possibly put it into the film, and he says it's a possible extraterrestrial. So everything that Radford did from Jump Street here is slanted. Everything he did, the headline is false. It's just, it's not slanted, it's false. It isn't true at all. We can read in the article exactly what Stephen Greer wrote about this. And there's nothing in what Greer says is a promise that it's going to be in the film. It's a hope that he can raise the money to get it in the film. But in order to do that, he's got to raise the money to do the testing. Now, some of you like Stephen Greer, some of you don't. You know, that's just the nature of things. That's the way it is. And I realize that the UFO community is cannibalistic. It devours its own. Some of them have tried and found I'm a little bit hard to chew. But that's the way the UFO community is. It has nothing. This has nothing to do with whether you like Stephen Greer or don't like Stephen Greer. This has to do with something Stephen Greer wrote and its treatment by a reporter. So we know what Stephen Greer wrote. He's saying it's possibly extraterrestrial. He does say, now one of the things that was said to me when I first broached the subject with a person about this today, I talked to someone about both of these articles today, both of these items, and one of the things that was said was, oh, here we go again, just like that Tom Biscardi thing with Bigfoot. No, it's not. No, it isn't. Now, the reason it isn't is because we have Stephen Greer in writing saying that he has actually, personally, professionally examined this thing. And he is a doctor. And he says it is indeed an actual deceased body and most certainly is not plastic or man-made. So it's not the same as that Bigfoot deal. All right, we have to step away for break. More on the other side of this break. Don't go away. Okay, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show and our examination of why this article is going to be awarded the Toro Kaka Award here this evening. And we've been talking about what Dr. Greer had to say about the body of a tiny, about 6 inches long, maybe a little bit longer than that, tiny little body, and it was found in the Atacama Desert in Chile, and several years ago now, remember that, we've been discussing what Dr. Greer had to say, and the fact that Dr. Greer did not say that his film is promising to prove the existence of pint-sized alien life. Now, see, the article has a headline that says that. UFO film promises proof of pint-sized aliens. Not so. Not at all. If you read what Dr. Greer wrote, he does not do that. He does not say that. Now, I was addressing, as we went away for break, the idea that some people probably have, because it was mentioned to me today, so I know that idea is not in isolation. Other people may have the same idea. Kind of, here we go again. It's going to be the same kind of deal as that Bigfoot deal a couple of years ago. No, it's not. Because we have the statement of Dr. Greer. He is a medical doctor, and he said, I have actually visited the group that possesses this EB and have personally and professionally examined the being. It is indeed an actual deceased body and most certainly is not plastic or man-made. He goes on then to talk about, he's also examined the X-rays of this being. Its anatomy is not Homo sapien. So this is not a human fetus that somehow wound up in the desert of Atacama and sort of self-mummified. It's not human. Whatever it is, it's not human. It's not man-made. It's not artificial. He describes it as having a head, two arms, two legs, and is human-like, humanoid. So this is quite different from the Bigfoot thing. Now, if Dr. Greer were to lie about that, I'm not saying he is at all, and I'm not speculating that he's lying. I don't think he's lying about that. I think he's telling you the truth. But if he's lying about that, he just put himself out of business forever with the UFO community and probably with everybody else. So he's saying that he has personally and professionally examined that body. It is not a man-made object. It's not a manufactured doll of some kind. It is a real deceased body. It is humanoid, but it is not human. And he's saying that he needs funding to get professional tests done. DNA, let's see, what does he say? MRI, full and dispositive forensic level DNA testing, carbon dating with other isotope testing. And he says, you know, that stuff's not cheap. It's certainly not. It's extremely expensive. And so he was trying to raise, and is trying to raise money to get all of that done and hopefully be able to include that in the film. Possibly. If he can get it done, then he can include it in the film. So we have right from Jump Street the headline, is a lie. At worst, it is purposely, I think, misleading at best. But anyway, that's the deal. All right, so now the writer of this article raises some questions. And I want to talk about these questions just a little bit. For instance, he asks, if ETs aren't much bigger than your cell phone, then why are their spacecraft so big? Ben Radford, do you not realize you just admitted that you think that UFOs are real? And you said it's their spacecraft? Because you didn't say, if ETs aren't much larger than your cell phone, then why do believers claim that their spacecraft are so big? You stated it as a fact in your question. What do you know that you're not willing to talk about, Mr. Radford? If the thing really is an alien body, he says, found in a South American desert years ago, if it really is, I like this. Why are we only finding out about it now? Mr. Radford, it's because you're dumb. When it comes to this stuff, you're dumb. You see, all the rest of us sitting out here, this is not new news to us. We all knew about this. The question is, why are you just finding out about it? It's because you're part of mainstream media. You're part of the problem. You're part of why Stephen Greer and others have to do these things to get the information out. You're part of the problem. That's why. I like this. And why didn't it make international news at the time? Well, you're part of international news. You tell us. Why didn't you report it? I mean, you got the answer to that. You know, what he's doing is he's arguing from the standpoint of, well, if I haven't seen it and I don't know it, then it can't be real. Oh, get off of it, Radford. Who the heck do you think you are? You've never seen infrared or ultraviolet light. Are you going to argue that they're not real because you haven't seen them? And why weren't the scientific tests that will supposedly prove its extraterrestrial origins done years ago? Again, you tell us. We want the answer to that. You tell us why you and the rest of mainstream media do everything you can to block this information and to poo-poo this information, just like you're doing with this article, to keep the heat under the ridicule so that real scientists don't want to touch it. You tell us why you do that. You're asking the question. You are part of the problem that is the answer to that question. So you answer it for us, please. And then he wants to know, what would an alien body without a spaceship and without any occupants and not even a little G.I. Joe-sized helmet or a ray gun. I mean, he's just getting ridiculous here. He says, what would that be doing alone in the desert? I used to live in Phoenix, Arizona. I always wanted to know when they'd find somebody out there in the desert, dead or near dead. I always wanted to know, what were you doing out there? I mean, for God's sake, you live here in Phoenix. You know what the desert is. It will kill you. So I don't have an answer to what this little guy was doing out in the desert. Maybe it was not a desert when he got there, when he died. And just because they only found him, that doesn't mean there weren't others. It means that's the only one they found. I know you have better logic faculties than you're using here, and I know you didn't use them, and you did that on purpose to keep your article slanted toward the ridiculous. At least that's the way it appears. But you could not, even in mainstream media, for God's sake, you could not have gotten your job with that kind of faulty reasoning and logic. You only pull that out when you're ready to deal with UFOs. And probably with some of the conspiracy theories. You only pull this kind of nonsense logic out when you're trying to discredit something. Well, we didn't just now hear about it. You think just because you wrote an article about it, we're just now hearing about it? We heard about it years ago. I'm not through yet. But we have to take a break. All right, we'll be back right after this. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. And I guess you could say my dissertation on how this article has reached the depths that qualify it for the Kevin Smith Show Toro Kaka Award, which I'm going to award very soon. The winner is, I'll tell you right now, the winner is right here. This is it. The article that I'm dealing with that has won the Arturo Caca Award is written by Ben Radford. Ben Radford. It is called UFO Film Promises Proof of Pint-Size Aliens. An untrue headline, but that's the headline. It is located at foxnews.com in the science section. I want to, you ought to go over there and read it. Read the whole thing. There's a whole lot more. I've just, you know, we're able to quote some things, fair use. And under the fair use doctrine, we're quoting some of these things and just pointing out it's you got to read the whole thing. Then he suggests that maybe all of his questions will be answered when the film finally comes out and scientists finally get their hands on this, quote, potentially explosive and world-changing evidence, end quote. They need to confirm extraterrestrial life. Radford, here's a question you didn't ask. And here's a question, this is straight from me, okay? If you really are steeped in that much stupidity, and I don't think you are, but if you really, 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 really are, how do you keep your job? Because you see, NASA is releasing stuff all the freaking time that shows there is extraterrestrial life. And that's how the first story fits in with this one. Here's a picture from the International Space Station showing clearly a craft. And I can't say for sure that that's ours, but I can say that doesn't fit with any kind of way we build stuff. I mean, take a look at the International Space Station and then look at that craft out there, and you can see that craft is not built by us. I don't think it is. All right, so Radford, you said that when this film premieres, perhaps scientists will finally have the, quote, potentially explosive and world-changing evidence they need to confirm extraterrestrial life. Are you saying that NASA does not have scientists? Is that what you're suggesting here? Because I'm showing our TV audience a picture from NASA. I've given them the link to that picture. And I'm showing them a picture from NASA, one among hundreds and hundreds, that show an extraterrestrial craft near the International Space Station. We have astronauts. We have recordings of astronauts saying to ground control in Houston that things like, we still have the extraterrestrial spacecraft under observance. We have astronauts saying, we have a UFO. There's a UFO. So are you saying that these astronauts are not scientists? Are you saying that NASA are not scientists? Is that what you're suggesting here? Well, I know you're not, and therefore this last statement of yours is the epitome of stupidity, inanity. This is way, way beneath you. So either you are massively ignorant of the real data, which is a possibility, and you're years and years behind the curve here. That's a possibility. I don't think it's likely, but I think it's a possibility. Or you just got paid to do a hit piece. In either case, I just bit your debunking arse. And I think you owe your readers an apology. I don't think you'll do it. That would take spying, integrity, and things like that. That's not part of mainstream media. But I think you owe your readers an apology. You certainly owe Dr. Greer an apology, but I think you owe your readers an apology. And so, here on the Kevin Smith Show, I now award the Kevin Smith Show Toro Kaka Award to this article that we've been discussing. Those of you who are joining us just now in this second hour, welcome aboard. I am delighted you are here. Man, have you missed some fun and some information. And you have my sincere sympathy for whatever it is that kept you away from the first hour. But the telephone lines are open, and we'll go ahead and go BYOT. We can talk about these articles and these photographs. Or we can talk about whatever you wish to talk about. The telephone number is 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. And if you are outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, you have an additional way to get in touch with us and participate in the show. And that additional way is to use our flash message option. And I hope you will. I'd like to know what you think about what you've seen here this evening. What do you think about that craft that NASA has in their photograph? You can go download it. You can look at the craft. That's what's on the picture for tonight's show. So just go to my website. If you don't want to download the photo from NASA, go to my website. And just scroll down. You'll see the picture about tonight's show. And that is it. That's the craft. NASA documents the existence of extraterrestrial life all the time and then says, well, we're looking for ET life out there, and if we ever find it, we're going to shout it from the rooftops. That's not true. There is proof of it. They're not on the rooftop, and they ain't shouting. Okay, but there's the picture of it. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Brent from Wyoming.
Hi, Brent.
I'm going to say there is a possibility that that craft might be a military craft.
There's always,
I doubt it, yeah. But you never know.
What? Yeah, there's always a possibility of that. However, it would have been constructed by minds and means entirely different from what we see in all other aircraft or spacecraft construction.
Yeah, but then again, they are probably at least 100 years ahead of what we're used to.
Yeah, I read a statistic about that. I read a statistic, as a matter of fact, yesterday, that for every 1 year of scientific advancement out in the public, every 1 year of public scientific advancement, the military has 44 years of scientific advancement. Hmm. Imagine that. So, that means that
from 132 years.
Yeah. Yes, it could be military. It could be ours, Earth's. I bet it's not.
I agree, but I'm just saying if it is, NASA could say, "All right, guys, we're jealous. Give us what you got."
They ain't getting it. They won't get it. NASA's following the progression that I said last year, that they, in fact, I said 2 years ago that they would follow this progression. Bit by bit, drip by drip, they're being forced and they're coming kicking and screaming to the table to admit the truth about Mars. They're releasing that information in the form of pictures and data. About Mars, okay? And I said, they have found life on Mars, and I stand by that. They have found life on Mars and denied it, admitted it, and then denied it. They have found liquid water at the surface on Mars, admitted it, and then denied it, and then had to admit it again. So it's kicking and screaming, and I said, bit, by drip, they're getting to the point where they're going to be able to say, oh, guess what we just found? Well, they didn't just find it. They found it in 1976. 1976, they found life on Mars.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the cat's out of the bag. They can't keep the lid on it, so they're dripping the information to us. And I think probably the same thing is true with craft like this. I don't assume that that's ours. I do think it's extraterrestrial because its shape and design is completely foreign to anything we've ever seen built on this planet. But that doesn't mean it couldn't be. I think the evidence of its appearance kind of indicates. And here's another reason. I don't think... See, NASA's part of the Department of Defense. Mm-hmm. So if this is a big, bad secret military craft, Department of Defense controls both sides of this picture here. I don't think they'd put their craft in front of ISS cameras.
But you never know what the pilots are going to do.
Well, that's true. You never know. But if that's the case and the pilot did that, I bet he's not the pilot today.
No, he wouldn't be. But as the Steaming Toro Caca Award.
Yeah.
Have you ever been around a stockyard?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was.
Yeah.
I was raised in the city, but we had a farm. And I worked on the farm every weekend and all summer, so yes, I have.
That's about what that article smells like.
You think?
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like I said, all the questions he asked in the article, he's part of the problem that is the answer to that. You know, the answer to his questions have to do with mainstream media and their ridicule. He's part of that problem, so he's got the answer.
Can I suggest a minor title change to your award, though?
What? Keep it clean.
Fertilizer Award.
The what?
Organic Fertilizer Award.
I like Toro Caca.
Okay.
That's a better title for it.
Okay.
All right. But thanks. I appreciate the call.
Goodbye.
All right, bye. All right, ladies and gentlemen, the telephone line is 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. Every time I do this, you know, I get people that applaud me for it, and then I get people that tell me I was too rough and all that. But look, you know, here's the deal. I'm not politically correct. I'm not PC. I'm KS. I just tell it like I see it. And the way I see it is that this article is a hit piece, and it uses excessively weak arguments, excessively poor logic, in some cases no logic at all. Now, this some of you are seeing this little being here for the very first time. Now, you know, if you're not watching the show and you want to see the picture of this being, just Google pint-sized aliens and then click on images and you'll see it. That's not new. That has been around. That picture has been around, and the articles and the arguments and the blogs and all of that stuff have been flying for several years. It is not new. And then to say, well, why are we suddenly, just now when he's trying to raise money for his film, we're just now finding out about this? You know, are you assuming that the rest of us are as in the dark as you, Mr. Radford? We're not. I mean, on this show, I've shown this picture, or a similar picture. I've shown a picture of this little being. It's a little body before, and we've talked about that little body before several years ago. This is old news. And, you know, for you to say, well, why are we just now finding out about it? You're why, Radford. You and the people that work with you in mainstream media, you're why. Why didn't you report on it? You're the problem. Why didn't you treat this as real news? Because it is. It is only now that Stephen Greer is bringing a movie out to the public that shows this kind of thing. Only now are you forced to address it, and you try to act as though it's some kind of bogus thing. It's not. That's a real body. And Stephen Greer is not the only one. You know, Dr. Roger Lear talked about this as well. And you act as though it's just now coming out as some kind of big promo to get more money for his movie. It's not just now coming out. You can go on the internet and the various blogs and read what was written before Dr. Greer examined that body and said, that's a real body. It's not carved. It's not fake. That's a real body. So go read what was written before he did that. And I invite Mr. Radford to do that. And what you're going to discover is that, number one, if you really didn't know about this, you are so woefully uninformed. But you're also going to find out that there were a lot of people who are in the so-called UFO community who were lining up and saying, some saying it's a hoax, some saying it's for real. But you see, it doesn't matter how many people say it's real. If it's not, it's not. And it doesn't matter how many people say it's hoaxed. If it's not hoaxed, it's not. See, what we think about something has no bearing on the truth and the reality of it. It is what it is. It is true, mushrooms don't realize that, and your hit piece is designed for them because you're trying to move their minds. This is literary or journalistic mind control. That's what this is. You're trying to shape their opinion towards the ha-ha-ha. Well, the ha-ha is on you, sir. The ha-ha is not on this little strange-looking body. It's on you. Now, it wouldn't be unless someone like me exposed this. I'm probably not the only one who's going to expose this. There may be others who already have. This article came out on April the 9th, but I'm just now getting around to being able to do something with this. But the point is this. The evidence of extraterrestrial life is overwhelming. Overwhelming. And if you don't know that, that's not our fault. We've been broadcasting it. If you don't know that, that's nobody's fault but yours. And your ha-ha stuff, your ha-ha hit piece, I mean, that's tantamount to walking down the street in a zoot suit. You are so way behind the times if you don't know this stuff. And you're a reporter and you're writing articles about it. If you really don't know it, you're in a zoot suit out in public. Or maybe the emperor has no clothes. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Jerome from Pennsylvania.
Hi, Jerome.
Hi. I just want to change the subject a little bit here.
All right.
Last week you had Mr. Bartiz on.
Yeah.
And I found him very interesting. I tried like heck to get in, and I couldn't make it in. He mentioned that you were a stonemason, and he said that you use sound equipment Did he mention anything to you off air or anything about that?
No. That was my first time to hear that. I found it to be interesting because, you know, my name is Smith, which means somebody who works with their hands. And in fact, my name, Kevin Wayne Smith, means kind and courageous wagon wheel maker.
Well, yeah, that is interesting because he said you also made, you know, you made carts and stuff in the wintertime and then delivered wheat. I found him very interesting. I also found him very interesting. He said you lived to be 71 years old at that one time span frame.
Yeah.
And I, you know, that's about our average life expectancy now.
Yeah, it is. It is. And I'm hoping, I didn't ask him, but I am hoping that this time around I make it to about 105.
Well, maybe you didn't want to know the answer to that question.
Well, in a way, I guess I don't, because whatever it's going to be, it's going to be, and knowing isn't going to change it, you know. So that's one of the things I'll just keep mysterious, you know. I just don't know, and I doesn't. I mean, if I die tomorrow, I die. And, you know, but I plan to rock on for a while.
Well, I found it very interesting, like I said, about the sound, about using sound tools. And I often thought that, you know, the pyramids were made using some kind of sound technology. And he even did say transportation.
Mm-hmm.
When he was talking about being the stonemason, he did say, and transportation with the sound.
Would you like for me to have him back on the air?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. And give me a heads up so I can be the first caller.
Well, we've gotten really good response from that show. And obviously, it's not everybody's cup of tea. There's no show that we ever do is everybody's cup of tea. Never has been, and never will be. But we've gotten a lot of very positive response from him being on the show, and we will have him back, and pretty soon. You'll be able to get in and talk to him.
Well, thank you very much, Kevin, and thank you for tonight's show also.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. 623-444-5889. It is, at this point, BYOT. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll take your calls.
Thank you. nothing else has changed. Since we've been apart, I could swim across the ocean, fly to the moon. I would walk 1,000 miles just to get to you. I would walk 1,000 miles just to get to you.
I can't seem to kill the music. There it goes. Okay, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and I've presented you with evidence from NASA that says we're not alone out there. It's NASA's evidence. It's their picture. I put the link up on our TV channel so that people can download it for themselves, see for yourself, and then. You know, I've been dealing with this article that's a hit piece, really, on Stephen Greer and the film that he's producing called Sirius, S-I-R-I-U-S. And so I've dealt with those two, and we can talk about any of that that you wish to talk about. However, we are BYOT. That means bring your own topic for those of you who are brand new to the show. And that means whatever it is within the genre of the strange and unexplained, we'll talk about it. Just give me a call at 623-444-5889. I have a flash message from Rob in Estonia. And he says, how could a skeleton... Now, this is in reference to the picture of the little... I will say little alien, okay? I mean, that's what it looks like. So he says, how could a skeleton cling together after soft tissue has deteriorated? Well, that's a very good point, I think, and one that I think we ought to take up. First of all, I'm pretty sure all of you know that all of your bones, your joints and everything are held together by, you know, bands called tendons and ligaments, depending on where they are. And so if your body is exposed, you know, your deceased body is exposed to the elements for long enough, all of the soft tissue, and that would be soft tissue, the ligaments and the tendons, all that stuff would be soft tissue, would eventually deteriorate. Under most conditions, that would be the case. And then the bones just fall apart. So when you find skeletal remains, very seldom do you find even big pieces of it all still held together. The bones have fallen all apart, dissociated from each other. And so that's a very good point, Rob. Now, let's take a look again at this being, this little alien. Before I zoom in, it doesn't appear to be a skeleton. It appears to be a very dehydrated body, as in mummification. When I zoom in, we see that. Now, being very dehydrated, we do see that, I mean, you can see more of the skeletal makeup of this being because it's so dehydrated. The same exact thing happens whenever you have mummies over in Egypt, or any mummies. If mummification has taken place, then what's happened is the body has dehydrated. In the case of Egyptian mummies, the body is purposely dehydrated. I forget now, I think it's called natron. And that, isn't that the salt, the mineral that they pack the body in to draw all of the moisture out, and it turns it very tough and leathery. And so you still have the skin on the outside, and it's all being held together that way. But you can see, for instance, the ribs and the collarbones and you know, the joint bones are more visible, the joints are more visible and so forth through that dehydrated skin. And so just take a look at some of the mummies in Egypt, and you see that as mummies, they are held together. And, you know, the bones are not just all splayed and fallen apart. This little guy is apparently mummified, but by natural processes. And this is not the only mummified deceased body that has been found in the Atacama Desert. They find other animals that die out there, not too many, but they have found animals that die out there and go through a natural mummification, because that desert is so dry, it's almost the driest place on Earth. In terms of precipitation, the driest place on Earth is, do you know? Antarctica. You're probably thinking, well, now, wait a minute. You know, it gets a lot of snow. No, it doesn't. There is a lot of snow and ice there. It gets some snow. Not much. What it does get is the snow that's on the ground whipped up into the air and blowing blizzard style across Antarctica because of the winds. But it's a very, very dry place. It has very, very little precipitation. The Atacama Desert is probably number two. As far as deserts go, actual deserts, you know, as we think of them with sand and all that, it's probably the driest desert on the planet. And so natural mummification does take place. And this little guy appears to still have his, I guess you could call it skin, covering the body. If we look at the head, you know, it's a very unusual head. We do see a place for a little nose there. And we do see a chin. We see strangely shaped eyes, strangely shaped and angular jaws coming down towards the chin. A head that is too large for his little body. And then there is a ridge right up through the center of his head. Now, am I absolutely sure that this is not a hoax? Well, no, I can't be sure. Even if I was there and looked at it, I'm not a doctor. I couldn't verify and certify that it is not a hoax. But a doctor has looked at it, several doctors have, and Dr. Greer has written about it, have looked at it and professionally examined it and have declared it is a deceased body. It is not a hoax, a man-made something. So it's not some kind of little, you know, voodoo doll or something like that. It's not a, it's not a piece of plastic. It's not something man-made. And do I think Dr. Greer is telling the truth about that? Well, yeah, I do. Now, as I said, and this is very important, folks. I mean, we really, really, you know, I've worked on this kind of thing for years here on the show within the UFO community. And that is, you know, we really got to get past this. Well, yeah, but he said this or he did that. That has no bearing on this. You know, I mean, some people love Dr. Greer and some people don't. And none of that matters. None of it matters at all. What we have is a statement by Dr. Greer that he personally has examined this being and did so professionally as a doctor. And it is truly a deceased body. He doesn't know what it is. He thinks it's possibly, I think he used the word possibly, extraterrestrial biological entity. So I have to take his word for it. I'm not a medical doctor. He says he looked at it. He says he examined it. I have no reason to doubt that. He says it is truly is a deceased body of some kind. I'll take his word for that. I have no reason not to. Nor, should I say, does Ben Radford in this article. And even though we have that statement, you know, by Dr. Greer that he has, as a doctor, he's, when he says professionally, his profession is he's a doctor. So he has personally and professionally examined this little being, and it is truly a deceased body. Even though he says that, and this article puts that in there, Radford makes a point of saying, well, yeah, but you know, little statues and little images of aliens are readily available and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, they are. There are also movies about courageous journalists and reporters, and we know that's fiction too. Just because there's movies about it doesn't mean that we have really courageous and journalists and reporters. Well, we have some. I mean, look, come on. Yeah, we've got some, but not very many, and not very many make it to big time mainstream media. But just because we've got movies about those kind of people doesn't mean we find them in reality. Just because you do have little statues and dolls of aliens doesn't mean that this is one of them. And, you know, I think it's very important for us to keep that in mind. Now, you know, if you want me to keep talking about what I'm talking about, I will, because I'm interested in it. And I got a lot more to say about it. But on the other hand, if you would like to comment or if you would like to change the topic, the telephone number is 623-444-5889, 623-444-5889. Or if you're outside the USA and outside of Canada, you can do what Rob did, who is in Estonia. And you can use the flash message option. If you're in the USA or if you're in Canada, then please use the telephone, okay? Now, one of the reasons all of this is important, folks, with the stuff that has gone on in Boston, there are people saying, well, what does any of this matter? You know, the really important stuff is what's happening in Boston. Look, what's happening in Boston and what happened in Boston is seriously important. So why is this stuff important? Because this kind of crap, this kind of mind control slanted piece is how they sway public opinion to do this, to do that, to believe this, to believe that. This is how it's done. I just exposed to you how it's done. And they do it most often with topics about UFOs and extraterrestrials. That's where it's done most of the time. That is where it began. That is where they perfected the art. So if you think the news media is manipulating you and manipulating what they tell you and you're not getting the straight scoop, you're right. Where did they learn that? Well, they learned it on topics like this, by participating in the government's disinformation program. And now it's like a cancer. It has spread, and it's out into everything that you can imagine. You never get the straight scoop. All right, we'll be back right after this.
Sitting on this
Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and we are on Final Approach. That means we only have just a few minutes left in tonight's show. Tonight, you've been exposed to a lot of information and a lot of very critical thinking. By critical, I don't mean criticism, but critical, rational thinking. And if you read your newspapers or you watch your news reports on TV with a mind attuned to critical thinking, you can see you're being manipulated over and over and over and over and over all day long by mainstream media. And the question is, what are you going to do about it? Well, think. That's what you do about it. Obviously, I have to read the same stuff you do in order to be informed at all about what's going on, and some of it is most of what I read is in the alternative media, and that stuff gets slanted too. You got to watch it. People are agenda-driven and just hell-bent for leather to make everybody think like they think. You need to think like you think. Think like you think. But think. Really, really think. And, you know, you read, for instance, this article, and you read the closing statement that, you know, maybe all the questions will be answered when the film premieres and scientists will finally have the, quote, potentially explosive and world-changing evidence, end quote. They need to confirm extraterrestrial life. You read that. And you think, you know, if you just accept that, then you've been manipulated to think that scientists have not confirmed extraterrestrial life. They have. They have. NASA has. Are they not scientists? And it's not just the picture I showed you. You know, I mean, Brent's point is well taken, and that is it could be our military. I don't think it is. But they have done it scientifically on the ground. On Mars. If you don't know it, it's because you haven't been listening to the Kevin Smith Show. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Caller? Okay. All right. The phone is doing weird stuff here. Okay. All right. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Oh, this is John from your old stomping grounds in Arizona.
Hey, John.
How you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
Well, the media, there was a time, and I'm sure that you can remember it since you're not too much younger than I am, that when we could trust more of what we heard in the news.
You know, generally speaking, you could.
Yeah, there was people like Cronkite, and while they may have had some agenda and a personal opinion, they tried to keep it out of the news.
Yeah.
But I grew up in a small college town, and a lot of the perception is if they're on TV, they must know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
They must be an expert.
Uh-huh.
And I grew up in a small college town, and I knew a whole lot of professional people, college professors. They were in my church, and I, you know, had a chance to meet them and rub shoulders with them one-on-one as a young teenager growing up and going into school and college myself. And I found out that while they may be an expert in the line of study that they pursued while they were in college, they could be dumb as rocks when it came to other things.
Sure. Absolutely.
And much of the population who haven't been to college aren't very quick to grasp the fact that, well, a college degree doesn't make you knowledgeable in everything. I was a teenage boy in high school, and I could fix these professors' cars because they didn't have a clue what made them go down the road.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you've heard me say it that, you know, and I have a good education, and I'm thankful for it, and, you know, I've got degrees, and I'm thankful for them. But those are not credentials for anything. And, you know, just because I have a degree in X doesn't mean I know the first thing about Y. And
exactly.
And this is critically important. all I know about X is what somebody before me knew about X. That's the way you get a degree.
Well, and that's what I like about your show. You bring in a lot of people who have an expertise in different areas, or they at least have researched it, and you don't take them carte blanche. You listen to them and say, well, does that make sense with what I already know? How does that balance with my knowledge?
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have knowledge there, then you always are free to go and research it yourself.
That's true. And I'll tell you something else. On this show, hang on, my volume has dropped here. On this show, I don't care whether they have a college degree or not, you know, because exactly. I don't think that's a credential. If they have invented something, then they did, and it doesn't matter whether they have a PhD in engineering. If they invented it, they invented it. If they saw it, they saw it.
All the college degree shows you is, like I said, an expertise in an area, and not all the expertise there, but it does tend to show that they have the stick-to-itiveness to study something.
Yeah, it does show that they at least have the tools to do research. Now, whether they do it or not is another thing, but they have the tools, and they have the ability to regurgitate what the professor wanted to hear.
And I find the ones who have written books are real slow to step on their own toes.
Yeah, that's true. I'll give you an example with my own stuff. Some of the stuff I write, I say, well, I think it's this way, you know. But then we have a guest maybe that will come on and say, well, you know, it could also be this other way. Well, I'll admit that. I'll say, yeah, it could be. I don't think it is, but it could be. You could be right, you know.
Well, you're willing to see that there's a possibility, but you still fall back upon the study that you've done because for one reason or another, you have found the conclusions that you came to reliable based on the reliable information that you studied.
Yes. However, you've been listening to this show for a long time, and you've heard me come on this show and say, at the time, my position was this.
Exactly.
And that was based on the best information we had at the time, but more information has come out, and my position has changed as a result.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that's what this is all about. That's what critical thinking is about. It's
a learning process.
Yeah, things are not etched in stone. You know, it's all very flexible, and sometimes it's beyond that. Sometimes it's fluid. And that's why I say there's no such things as laws of physics. There are not. Let me put it this way. There probably are, but we don't know them.
Mm-hmm.
What we call laws of physics are just our descriptions of our observations, and since it's us, humans, we know those are flawed. And so it's just
an approach. Based upon this orb that we live in and may not be consistent on any other world.
Yeah, it probably. Some things are a little
different.
There are
certain things that will probably be maintained. But,
you know, knowledge is not in a vault somewhere. And, you know, it's very flexible. It's growing, and it's growing exponentially. And so things that we think we know, if we think we know it, trust me, it is out of date.
Well, and you talk about the scientists who are sneaking the photos in, the NASA photos.
Uh-huh.
Now, these are people that have studied and gone to school and gotten very good grades and excelled in their area, probably up to doctorate level.
You got 15 seconds.
They probably understand that the vast majority of the thinking public wouldn't trust NASA if they came out and said the world was round or the sun was going to come up tomorrow.
You're probably right. Wish we had more time, but the end of the show is just taking over. Thanks for the call. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.